This is a Steam Studio production.
Welcome to Conversations from the Studio, a podcast that fuels creativity and innovation through lively, thought-provoking discussions.
For this conversation from the Steam Studio, we are excited to welcome some incredible guests. First, Redora Collins. Redora started working at DeKalb County Farm Bureau in 1998 after several years as an environmental educator. As agricultural literacy coordinator, Redora takes pride in building connections between teachers, students, and farmers. During the school year, she brings agriculture into schools by providing resources and presentations for students and teachers. In summer, she gives educators firsthand ag experiences during the Summer Ag Institute. Throughout the year, whether conducting workshops, developing lessons, or organizing farm field trips, Redora strives to reinforce the link between those who are not from farms and those who live and breathe agriculture. Redora earned a BA in elementary education from Illinois Wesleyan University in 1992 and a master's in curriculum and instruction from Northern Illinois University in 2001. Redora continues to learn about food production by reading agricultural and science publications, touring farms and agribusiness, and by constantly asking questions. And our other guest is Ashley Mercier, currently serving as the Communications and Community Engagement Manager for the Suter Company, a 100-year-old food manufacturer located in northern Illinois. With more than 25 years of experience in the communications field, Ashley is a storyteller who has had the opportunity to creatively build and support brands across a variety of industries. In the food manufacturing space, for the Suter Company, Ashley gets to engage with people of all ages, from elementary school age students to seniors, helping teach about how food manufacturers bring favorites to local grocery stores, retailers, and restaurants, and how STEAM subjects are alive and well in the food manufacturing industry. Ashley's personal love, appreciation, and support of all things STEAM is driven by her two sons, who have helped her discover the vital role STEAM plays in our world. Ashley holds a master's degree in strategic communication from Butler University and a bachelor's of science in marketing from Indiana University.
So we are back in the STEAM studio. This is a conversation I have been craving for a long time. As you might have picked up on it, we're going to talk about food. So let the food puns begin. Very excited to have two special guests who we have worked with both of them for a long time. So I have Redora and Ashley with us. Welcome, Redora and Ashley.
Thank you.
So before we kind of dig into the work that you both do, can you each take a minute and introduce yourselves? Tell us a bit about what you do at your two different places, because I love hearing about what you do both independently, but then we'll talk a bit about what you're doing together. So Redora, I'm going to toss it to you first.
Sure. My name is Redora Collins, and my title is Agricultural Literacy Coordinator. I have been here for, well, I don't remember the math, but I've been here since 1998, and my job is to coordinate all of our educational efforts, whether it's for preschoolers or teachers, and everything in between. So I coordinate our Ag in the Classroom program, which some people may have heard of, but I also coordinate farm field trips. And I'm in the midst of our Summer Ag Institute, or at least planning for our Summer Ag Institute for teachers right now. So things like that.
Excellent. Thank you. And Ashley.
Hello, my name is Ashley Mercia, and I am the Communication and Community Engagement Manager at the Suter Company. The Suter Company, we are a 100-year-old, as of this year, a 100-year-old food manufacturer located here in Sycamore. And what I do for the Suter Company in a very short descriptive way is I am a storyteller. I tell our company story, I tell our history, I talk about the cool things that can happen in food manufacturing and help people understand what it is that we do by helping put it into perspective in their own lives, whether that's elementary aged kids all the way up to full grown adults. So I'm out in the community a lot talking about what we do, talking about career opportunities, about the volunteer work we do, and about our history too.
That's really exciting. I think between the two of you, we've got kind of the whole food cycle or the food system here, from starting to then moving it into what we as consumers see. So I know you both do a lot of really interesting things individually with both Suter and Farm Bureau, but you also do a lot of work together. Can you talk a little bit about some of the initiatives, some of the activities you do together?
I would say, I feel like we're just on the cusp of starting to do more things together. I think Ashley and I keep running into each other at similar events and realize that we're doing different, similar things as far as telling stories, and realize there's a lot of room for us to do things together. STEMFest, of course, is one of the places we've run into each other. The Science Olympiad in Sycamore is another place that's like, oh, you're here too. What are you doing? Oh my gosh, we should be doing this together. I have brought teachers to, or taken teachers to Suter during my summer ag institute. And then that went so fabulously, I took fellow ag literacy coordinators over there. So those are some things where we have come together, but I think we're just at the start of maybe doing some more collaboration.
Yeah, it's been great. I know the last several summers getting to welcome DeKalb County teachers into the Suter Company for an afternoon, being able to share with them some of the products that we make for their lunch, and them seeing some of the favorites that they buy on their weekly grocery trips has been really exciting. And what I always like is not only with that type of group or tour to come in, is that I always say we're like lifting the veil. Everybody kind of drives by our building all the time, and I always hear, I drive by that building every day, but I have no idea what goes on in there. Well, then they get to kind of get behind the scenes and see, and it really opens their eyes and helps them have kind of a new appreciation and understanding of the world of food manufacturing, but then food science as well, and how that plays into it. So I think that's an area too where Rodora and I are really looking forward to collaborating and talking more about how the science part of it comes into the food that we're all eating and consuming every day.
I like how you said lifting the veil, because it's kind of like what Summer Ag Institute does. And where I was just emailing one of our farm tour hosts today. He's like, well, what do you want me to talk about? I'm like, oh, let me list some things that we would love to hear about.
Well, that's what I was going to ask. What are some of those topics? So as you're either working with teachers and helping them see what goes on behind the process, but also working with students and families, what are some of those aha moment topics or things you like to make sure the people you interact with leave with an understanding of?
I would say, so being out in the community a lot, and again, like I said, I can be talking to ages elementary all the way to, you know, 65 plus. And what I have found that's one of the great ways to explain what we do or to help those who want to understand what we do is to simply start out and say, so the food that you eat every day or that you purchase at a grocery store or a convenience store, that has to be made somewhere. That bag of Doritos has to be made somewhere. There's not a Doritos field that those come out of, unfortunately. And that's when I start to see it begin to click in people's heads, no matter what the age. And I say, so we're the ones who are helping, food manufacturers are the ones who are helping to bring those products to the stores that you can buy them in. Or to the restaurants or whatever it might be, those prepared food products. That's one of the biggest things. And I think kind of just simplifying the message down, because you could get very in the weeds when it comes to manufacturing. There's so many facets of it. And trust me, I've gotten to the place before where I'm talking to people and you just sort of see their eyes glaze over. but when you frame it in a way that makes sense for their everyday lives and the way that they can understand it on their level. That's one of the biggest things that I'm always looking for when I'm out and talking with others to try to help frame up what it is a food manufacturer does.
Same thing, I guess. it's so fun to, again, with very little kids all the way to adults, to just blow their minds. And with agriculture, sometimes sometimes it doesn't take much to blow their minds because it's just not something they ever encounter before. I love talking to children and seeing like the minds blow of the adults that are in the periphery. Wait, hang on. Did you just say there's a silk for every single kernel on the ear? Yeah, there is.
Wait, what? I didn't know that.
Yeah, what happened?
Like, seriously?
There is. So the tassel is the male part of the flower, and the silks are the female part of the flower, and the pollen falls on the silks, and then it travels down and it makes the kernel. Or not if it was chewed by bugs or something. It's amazing.
Which is, you know, especially out here, so many of us grow up, like there's corn planted in our field right now. Like so many of us grow up around this, but right. I never had any idea.
I didn't either. And that's what's so fun about my job. Just corn by itself is really exciting to me because I'm always learning something new about it. And it's relevant. I mean, okay, maybe it's not a huge deal that whether or not we know that there's a silk for every kernel, but it's relevant if you eat sweet corn and you keep getting that stuff in your teeth, or it's relevant if you wonder why perhaps that farmer is spraying something on the field. Well, if insects eat those silks, then there will be no kernels. So there has to be a way to control those insects one way or another, just things like that.
It probably also helps you when you're picking out your own sweet corn at the grocery store of looking for one that's got a lot of silk.
Right?
I think the next podcast needs to be Rodora and I go grocery shopping for sweet corn.
Yes.
Let's do that. I love that.
I could use some assistance. No, I love, Rodora, what you said was like, I love that moment too, of where you get to kind of blow their minds, like with information that they don't really think about. I mean, and that's one thing that I say is, you know, I'm sure you probably don't give a whole lot of thought to the food that you're buying and the food that you're eating and where it's coming from. Like, you know, maybe if it's fresh produce, like absolutely. You know, because obviously so many of our local grocery stores are so great to share the local farms that those items are coming from, but it's less so when it comes to, you know, prepackaged items that you can purchase at a store.
That's why we need the prepackaged items and why we don't have time to think about that. Mm-hmm. There's a lot going on.
Yes, there's a lot going on. There's a lot going on. So, but it is interesting to be able to frame up something that is such an integral part of everybody's life every day, the person that you're talking to, and be able to kind of break it down for them and help them understand that it wasn't just magic that put it there on the store shelves. There's a whole line of steps, a million steps that went into getting that product on the shelf for them to purchase that day.
I think that's one of the things that is interesting for me is people don't always think that the food industry, whether it's from the ag side or from the manufacturing side, is filled with innovation. And the types of the innovation, the cutting edge technology, processes, it's not a settled field. I mean, there are some places where we're making things the same way we always have. There's farming practices that are still, but for the most part, it is a changing, exciting, innovative field. Are there some examples of that you all have worked with, or times that you've shared some of those things with the folks you work with?
I would say what I have noticed in the time I have been here is farm technology has changed so much. I have these photos that used to be posters that the kids would hold up, and they had to put themselves in line of the steps of corn or soybean production. And I've had to keep updating those. Not keep updating those, but sometimes I look back and I'm like, oh, this step doesn't look like this anymore at all. I need to take this out and replace it. You know, the tillage practices is one thing that has changed a lot. I don't know. What was the question again?
Just that, examples of some innovation that people would maybe be surprised to know that it's happening.
Oh, absolutely. And I remember even when the first Summer Ag Institute I ever conducted, we were looking at the seed production facility in Waterman back when it was still DeKalb. DeKalb owned DeKalb Seed. Now it's owned by Bayer. And I remember overhearing a teacher as we were walking out of the building saying, who knew that much went into just a seed? And, you know, in the 20 some years since then, a lot has changed. You know, making it more efficient, making it do better in drought and floods and, you know, you name it. Yeah, it keeps changing.
Ashley, how about from the manufacturing side?
It's such a pertinent question because, you know, obviously, as we're celebrating this huge milestone this year, 100 years, well, that in and of itself, we have changed so much in 100 years between not only the products that we offer, but the way that we make it happen. And I've had so much opportunity to be able to go back and look at historical documentation and photographs and things and seeing how things used to be done, even at our May Street facility, which still houses our shelf stable canning operation. But, you know, from an innovation perspective, a lot of it does have to do with not only what the capabilities are, the true manufacturing capabilities are, but what the consumer wants too, and how the consumer needs have changed. So, you know, where we started off in 1925 as a farm, truly a farm, with chickens and eggs, that's what we were. And through that 100 years, we went from chicken processing, egg processing, to, you know, then getting into the canning operation of chicken and different types of chicken products, to then, you know, even, you know, in the early to mid late 90s, getting into more of the refrigerated salads because the consumer was wanting more of those ready to eat type of products. So where, you know, probably 2/3 of our production that's here at Bethany Road is our refrigerated products manufacturing and production floor. So that just kind of shows you where, as a company, you have to be able to be nimble to accept that innovation and kind of accept the challenge to be able to continue to not only be able to make your product better and make it in a way that is more efficient, but also to what people are going to buy as well.
So I'm always amazed by this, because I think, as you were talking about blowing people's minds and giving them information, I think with food, especially in America, which we've had a long time of being relatively consistent with having access to it. I know there's gaps that we need to work on, but there are grocery stores. There, you know, we have those. And so I, a lot of times, I'm like, the food comes from the store. That's what happens. And as long as it's there, that's the idea of my production. As long as it's in the store, we're good. Is there something of a misconception that you two kind of run into within that mindset a lot? Or is that just kind of normal and you deal with it?
You mean as far as, people just expecting that things will just be there for them?
Yeah, or if you could kind of be like, hey, just so you know, like, it'd be cool if you remembered this, because it might not always be that way, or it takes a lot of time and a lot of effort and a lot of people that you might not even see in the background to make it so accessible or so perceived as easy as just going to a store.
I think one of the things that's that you have in a manufacturing mindset that probably average person doesn't think about, and this is in food and a lot of other different consumer products, but it's thinking about supply chain. And that was really brought to the forefront for a lot of everyday consumers when we were in the COVID-19 pandemic. Mm-hmm. And people then understanding that things don't just appear. And there can be shortages of things, and that's the same for food. And it can happen. It doesn't take just a pandemic to help make something more challenging to get. We have an entire supply chain team here that every day they are working with our suppliers all over the world to be able to get the inputs that are needed for all the products that we make. And it's not just ingredients. We're also talking packaging. We're talking labeling. We are talking, even then extending it beyond, it's the parts for our operating equipment. So,
right.
It's the whole concept of how many inputs go into getting that one container of chicken salad that you go and buy off the shelf and that you are feeding your family. It's again, if you're not in the world of manufacturing, you're not going to think about it. I haven't always been in manufacturing. I didn't start thinking about the way, where my food comes from like this until I joined the Suter Company and became so much more educated on it. But I think that is one of the biggest things, is just helping individuals understand the breadth of, like I said, the inputs that go into the products and the foods that we have the fortunate ability to go get off our grocery store shelves.
It makes you appreciate, once you start learning those intricacies, what's happening behind the scenes, whether it's on the farm or in the manufacturing plant. It's like, oh my gosh, this package of, applesauce cups is a miracle.
Right.
So much involved. I want to stay away from talking about social media, but that's the world we live in now. And there's so much misunderstanding, I think, due to lack of awareness, that, Ashley and I both get kind of a behind the scenes look and start to realize, holy cow. During COVID, the dairy cows all kept producing milk, but you know, which plants were geared up to put milk in 8-ounce cartons versus gallon jugs or half gallon cartons, and how quickly could they adjust from kids not being in school all over the country for that milk to go into grocery store packaging instead of school packaging? That's just one tiny example, you know. And then you heard about having, you know, farmers having to dump milk because maybe all of their milk went somewhere, you know, to a plant that had to retool in order to, you know, to put that in the packaging that was needed all of the sudden overnight at the time. It really, really does make you appreciate mm-hmm. all the things that have to happen just for us to grab something off the grocery store shelf. Or I always think of gas station chicken salad, which I adore, and I discovered it's because a lot of it is from here. That stuff is so good. And I'm always like, "Who is this?" You know, there's a lot that had to happen for that to show up there mm-hmm. in its form.
Which right. I think
go ahead.
No, I was just saying, I think the pandemic did bring that more to the forefront. We thought about it more because suddenly we couldn't get some of the things because, you know, there was something along that process that either couldn't adapt or was changing over, or there was something that was impacting. And I think it did make everybody much more aware of right. supply chain in general. From our mm-hmm. food, but to any product.
Absolutely. I mean, I remember shopping and, you know, looking for the Clorox wipes, and, you know, it was, you can buy one at a time because this is what we've got and we don't know when we're going to get the next shipment in. So it's, yeah, I mean, it there's so much interconnectedness mm-hmm. to, you know, every really part of our daily lives it's not second nature. When you get to see behind the scenes, like Redora and I do, I think you start to, you know, make those connections and you have the ability to, it's really beneficial to be able to do that.
It also makes me think that we're luckier than maybe what we realize as a species, as humanity. And again, I'm going to hone this into our Western world because I know that there are those ones. But when you're talking about that, both of you come from this conversation in different avenues and even perspectives, but then you could almost say that you have different stakes in it and potentially some things that you're like, that's not my, like, I don't necessarily care about that. And all the way through that supply chain, you have multiple different people with different principles that they're going after to then be able to make that final product. It's Redora, I'm going to steal your word. It's a miracle. And that's so cool to think about.
We have an activity that keeps running through my head as we're talking about this. It's called Tassel to Table. And it's basically a series of photos representing parts of the supply chain. So we have the farmer, seed dealer, machinery, retailer, dealer, you know, transportation, manufacturing, which is just one picture. And I think, Ashley, you and I need to get together and break that picture down some more to a bag of Doritos or Fritos or a box of cereal or whatever. And we take the group, whether it's students or teachers or whoever, and say, all right, line yourselves up. Put yourselves in the order that these things have to happen for this to end up, you know, on your table or in your hands or in the grocery store. And that's a blast. That activity is always really interesting and usually takes a long time, especially with teachers, because then they start talking. It's like, oh my gosh, you know, everybody raise up, you know, your picture if it represents some form of transportation, for example. Okay, what if fuel prices go up? And, you know, you just, everything starts spinning.
Yeah, it goes back to the interconnectedness. Mm-hmm. Who would have thought that my milk has gone up because oil and gas prices have gone up? Or it's all it's all connected and interestingly dependent on each other.
That's what I try to say, to put across when I'm talking about careers. In fact, it's one of the questions on this, in this career lesson we have for fifth graders is, you know, who depends on you? You know, I've given you this career. Who depends on you to do your job well?
Interesting. I love that.
I got kind of goosebumps there. Like yeah. That's a good, because I know I don't always think of it. I just know, like, I have to do my job. You know, like, that's mm-hmm. my mentality. But when you're looking at it and it's not as cut and dry as a person fighting fires or, you know, a doctor that you're like, I know what that is. It turns into a much larger element. When you're working with students, and both of you, do you find that to be interesting or difficult to try and educate young people about the different careers that are hidden in your different areas?
I think that, so a lot of my experience with students is either in the classroom. So I'm speaking in front of a class and talking about what we do, or it's at more of a kind of a community type of event where I have a table and they're coming up. And I will tell you that giving away snacks, candy, and having a spinny wheel is always a very, very helpful setup to be able to get kids to your table. I would say that if you, by starting to try to make the food part of it relevant to them, then getting into, because there are so many different facets of what goes on in food manufacturing. I mean, I talk about food science, and that's everything from, we have an entire product development team that their job is to work in our test kitchen and make up recipes. My culinary kids tend to be like, light up. And I even say, if you're into culinary, you know, that's a type of career that you could go, career path you could go into. You don't necessarily have to work in a restaurant or work, you know, what you would traditionally think, or work, you know, for a caterer. There are food manufacturers who are looking for product development chefs. And that's a great way you can do it. Engineering is also a huge popular career path that I'm asked about. And yes, we absolutely have to have an entire team of engineers, because, you know, we have to make sure that our equipment's running, and making sure that we can make the products that our customers have ordered. You know, and even drilling down to kind of where your, I guess, traditional sciences, I'm using my air quotes, like biology and chemistry, you know, we have quality teams. So it's kind of trying to, like, cherry pick what you think, you know, kind of the hot spots are, especially I tend to try to position it as, you know, it's a great opportunity if you're interested in STEAM careers. And here's the breadth of what you can do with it. You know, even to mathematics, we have to have our accounting team, because, you know, we want to get paid, and we have to pay bills. So, there's a lot of opportunity there. So I try to, especially when talking to students, I don't want to make them too overwhelmed, but kind of cherry pick the hot topic, cool things when I'm talking to them. The culinary and the engineering and business kind of are the big ones that seem to get people to light up.
Yeah, I think the challenge I have when I'm talking about careers is, a lot of times when people hear careers in agriculture, they're like, oh yeah, farmer, rancher. So I have to break through to share, you know, a lot of the careers that Ashley is talking about. Well, we have, you know, broadcasters and engineers and more engineers and food scientists and soil scientists and plant scientists, and there's lots of science going on. When I developed our fifth grade careers lesson that I've talked about, I had room for 30 careers. So I had to, you know, you talk about picking and choosing. I'm like, well, entomologist, you know, because a lot of kids don't know what it is, and there's going to be one kid in the classroom who's like, oh, that's cool, while the rest are all going, ew, that's gross. Aerial applicator, you know, the people who are flying the planes and doing aerial feeding and spraying. I try to pick 30 out of 300 or whatever that would capture their interest. And it's hard. I had an argument with a fifth grade boy several years ago. I love this story. He said, you know, I give every student or volunteer at Zoo an image of a career. And back before I changed it into a more of an inquiry, the image actually had the career name and a description. And this boy said, I don't want to work in agriculture. I want to do what my dad does. And I said, that's terrific. You know, what does your dad do? So, well, he's an accountant. And I said, well, you know, we need accountants in agriculture. You know, where does your dad work? And I don't remember the name of the company now, but bottom line, his dad worked at the company that at the time was manufacturing or processing McDonald's hamburgers. And I was like, works in agriculture. No, he doesn't. And I'm like, okay. But yeah.
You bring up a really good point, because Rodora, because you know, I run into the same thing too, is, you know, you, and this is really particularly more with high schoolers, you say we're a food manufacturer and they immediately go to working on an assembly line.
Mm-hmm. I love Lucy.
That's
right. Where my head goes.
I'm gonna make hot dogs.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
they're, you know, taking things off an assembly line, putting things in boxes, putting things in, you know, on pallets, that sort of thing. And yes, while those types of jobs are absolutely very important, just like farmers are very important to the basis of agriculture, it's not the only thing that is a possibility in the world of manufacturing. So it's trying to help them kind of break out of that preconceived idea that they see from movies and TV shows and, you know, whatever else that they're consuming. So
I feel like giving them visuals, I mean, a tour is the best thing if that's possible, but at the very least giving them lots of visuals. And that's why I have all of these images for this fifth grade lesson. You know, picture yourself in this career that I have just given to you. You know, do you work inside or outside? What STEM or STEAM skills do you think you would need for this role? Do you think you would enjoy this? I want them to go away with that picture in their head that's different than the ones that we always hear, you know, doctor, nurse, police officer, teacher. Those are all wonderful and very integral, but nobody told me that there were food scientists when I was in school and high school. And looking back, I think I would have found that a really fascinating career avenue.
Mm-hmm. Well, I just want to say thank you so much to both of you. This has been such a fun conversation. And I think we need one just on all the different careers that are associated with the food supply chain and the food systems, because there's so many and it's always changing. Where, for each of you, where could our listeners learn more about what you'd each do and Farm Bureau and Suter? So Ashley, do you want to go ahead and go first?
Sure. So to learn more about the Suter Company, you can check us out online at suterco.com. That's SUTERCO.com. I'll even give a little plug at the very top right now. We have our special Celebrating 100 Years area of our website. It has a fantastic historical documentary that we've shot on that page. Talks about just everything from our start until today. It's a really great overview of what we've done and where we've been and where we're going. So that's the best way to learn more about us. And of course, you can always follow us on social media too. That's where I do a lot of my storytelling. We have our presence on Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn as well.
Great. And Rodora?
For information on our local ag literacy programs, our website is growyoungminds.org. There is also a terrific state website, which is agintheclassroom.org. That's our Illinois ag literacy program. They have terrific resources. And I would also give a plug for the National Ag in the Classroom program, which is agclassroom.org. I believe Illinois had an Ag in the Classroom program before the national program. So we got the better, you know, URL. but these are all terrific places, especially for educators to go for resources and find out what we do.
Wonderful. Well, thank you both so much. This has been a really fun conversation.
This has been a production of the STEAM Studio. Please make sure you like, subscribe, and leave a review to help others discover our shows. You can listen on platforms like Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Thank you to our partners, NIU STEAM and Northern Illinois University, for supporting this podcast. If you would like to learn more about the work we do, please check us out online at niusteam.niu.edu. Thank you so much for listening.